Broken Bulbs is a proud member of the Create Fine and is produced by Mecco Radio.
And I could just see people leaving on the night, just, you know, their sort of shoulders drooping, them not walking out with their heads held high, feeling excited or inspired. I'm afraid at that point, I just wanted to go and curl up under a stone and kind of be like an ostrich or something, you know, shut out the world and think, oh, this isn't happening to me. But the very next day, I got an email from one of the attendees, and he said, Sue, I've been underwhelmed here.
Alex Williams here to welcome you back to Broken Bulbs, the show for entrepreneurs, creators, and builders who need to keep it real. Today, I'm joined once again for time number 3 with Sue Stockdale. Now, Sue also featured on episodes 25 and 72 of Broken Bulbs, so be sure to check those out after this episode. Now, get this. Sue was the first British woman to ski to the North Pole. I've interviewed some pretty rad people on this podcast, but that has to be the single coolest thing anyone I've interviewed has done. It's pretty BA. But despite this awesomeness, she also failed to deliver inspiration at an event she organized. That's coming up after the break. Real quick before we get into today's show, I'd like to invite you to leave us a review and share this episode with a friend or family member who you think would get something out of it. We are really trying to push the show and get it out to as many listeners as possible to share the message of we all fail, we all make mistakes, and it's normal, and it's important to talk about it and learn from it. We want to see the show get to 10,000 downloads an episode before the end of the year. Let's see if we can do it. Thanks for your help. Enjoy the show. Sue Stockdale, ready to talk about another one of your broken bulbs?
I am, Alex.
All right, so let's talk about this event failure. I don't really know much about it, but I understand the food wasn't great, and that in itself is just a shame. So I want to hear, what was this event? What was going on? And what happened?
Yeah, a bit embarrassing. I was running a business where we ran a number of activities to support entrepreneurs. And I found a big name speaker, somebody who at the time was very well known, had been on the television in the entrepreneurial television programs that appear. And I managed to get a local venue to sponsor us to host the event there, telling them that we'd get a number of people attending and that if they were providing a discounted rate on the food and that, you know, people could come and experience their hotel and the venue. Well, it all went wrong. Yes, we had a good number of people there, but the room wasn't full. The speaker, I would say, was underwhelming and didn't deliver in all fronts that I had expected. And then not only to top that, the hotel, all of the things that they provided, and I hadn't asked the questions clearly enough about what exactly they'd be providing, was all little fried tidbits of food. You know, everything looked brown. You can imagine the kind of buffet, not inspiring or healthy. Well, and people had paid quite a lot of money for this event. I was mortified. And what do you do when you face a situation like that, where it was a real failure?
What was your hope for people to get out of this? Like in your head, what did you envision?
I imagined that they would have a great networking evening. There'd be lots of new people for them to speak to. They would be inspired by the speaker talking about her experiences in growing and scaling her business. And that they would leave feeling that our organization had done a great job and they would want to come back to another event that we would put on in the future. So they'd go out with a great experience and be engaged and inspired. Well, I'm afraid that that just didn't happen on all fronts.
Yeah. And so, I mean, the food wasn't great. The speaker didn't work out. I guess, what did you do in the moment to try and mitigate it? When you saw this happening, how do you go about saying, okay, we need to try and salvage this somehow? What did you do?
Well, I'm afraid that it was too late to change the food. So people had to eat it. The speaker afterwards, I did give her appropriate feedback to just say that what she had delivered wasn't quite what I had been expecting. So I let her know. And I could just see people leaving on the night, just, you know, their sort of shoulders drooping, them not walking out with their heads held high, feeling excited or inspired. I'm afraid at that point, I just wanted to go and curl up under a stone and kind of be like an ostrich or something, you know, shut out the world and think, oh, this isn't happening to me.
Yeah.
But the very next day, I got an email from one of the attendees, and he said, Sue, I've been underwhelmed here. You know, this was wrong, and I'd like my money back. And I thought, well, again, take some courage, Sue, phone up the person and have a conversation. Now, that was a conversation I did not want to have. And I went on the telephone and I said, I understand that, yes, we underdelivered. We didn't do what you expected. And I acknowledge we'd made a mistake. And by the time that I had had that conversation with the individual, they'd expressed their thoughts and I'd accepted that we were in the wrong. At the end of the day, they said, you know, I don't need my money back. I appreciate, you know, I just wanted you to know that it wasn't what I expected. And I really appreciate you contacting me to have this conversation. And they went away feeling better because they'd been heard. I felt better because I'd had the courage to listen to what they had to say. And actually, they became a great advocate for our organization after that. They came to other events. They told people about what we did. And I guess the learning for me is that one bad event doesn't, you know, it doesn't completely ruin you forever. People can take the longer view, in my experience. And it's all about relationship and being courageous enough to have sometimes those difficult conversations that you don't want to have, and accept and learn and move on and make your next event even better.
I think a theme of our few conversations we've had has been communication, to, you know, really be aware of what's going on, communication with yourself, communication with the people who are supporting you or concerned for you or giving you feedback. And so along that theme, how did you, with future events, communicate more effectively what it was that you were looking for, and maybe make sure that you weren't over-promising and under-delivering?
Well, I think I learned to more clearly brief a speaker. So not just to have the expectation that, oh yeah, they'll be great, without them really knowing what the expectation is. So a clear speaker brief, just as, you know, you did in our podcast conversation, Alex, make it very clear to me what was expected. So I think that's a really important thing, is set out the expectations. And then I do think that word of mouth is sometimes very effective. You know, in these days of digital media, we often rely on, you know, all the different communication channels that are digital to get our message across. I'm afraid I'm still in the old school of nothing beats a phone call. I'm actually, you know, whether it's a phone call or a face-to-face, communicating on a real level, as I would call it, with your audience to get a sense of what their expectations are, or just to say, I really hope you can come along to our event. And now I know you can't do that if you've got hundreds of people coming to something, but maybe there's some key influencers that you want to be there and you know will spread the word. So make sure that you do engage with them and take time to make them feel important. Then they're going to do your work for you. They're going to tell their friends, their colleagues, oh, I got a call from Sue and she's told me about this event. And, you know, what about going to it? It makes people feel special. There's nothing stronger than word of mouth communication. Just as we are hearing in this podcast, Alex, the intimacy of a podcast conversation, there's nothing beats it.
Yeah, that's totally true. I mean, you say you're old school with phone calls, but I'm a huge fan of phone calls. My friends give me flack because I'm either calling them instead of texting them, or I'm on the phone having a conversation with somebody else, because it's so much more satisfying because you get that communication. That's why I love when I do record podcasts remotely that we have video on. I'm not recording the video, but we're sitting here and we can see each other. We can see each other's facial expressions. We can understand on a deeper level what's going on. And so you're exactly right. Just making sure that those expectations are clear, and so that people understand what's going on and what's expected when they show up to the event. Of course, as you've continued applying these lessons in your life, you've come to this point now where hopefully you have a few things that are working out for you. But why don't you fill us in What is working for you and where can people find it?
Well, one of the things that I'm experimenting with, and it's continual work in progress, is my own podcast that I set up with a colleague of mine called Access to Inspiration. And our aim is to really give free energy to listeners so that they hear conversations and experiences of people from all around the world who've achieved really interesting and extraordinary things and share their passion and energy and enthusiasm in those stories. And I hope that then the listeners will be able to transcend their own day-to-day challenges and perhaps just reflect in a new way about what they're capable of achieving. And every episode, I keep trying to improve, get feedback from listeners, enhance what I'm doing. So it's a continual work in progress, and I'm sure it will never end in terms of trying to make it better for each episode.
I love that. And where can people find Access to Inspiration?
Well, you can find it on all the main platforms, Spotify, Apple, Stitcher, and so on, just by looking up Access to Inspiration or on our website, accesstoinspiration.org, where you'll find transcriptions as well for each episode.
Fantastic. Well, Sue, thank you once again for joining me.
Thanks, Alex. It's lovely to talk to you.
And thank you for listening. Take that phone call. One of the hardest things to do is swallow our pride and listen to what went wrong. But when we do, we're more able to grow from that experience and make expectations clear. That'll help things go right. That's one of the things I do to prepare guests for this podcast, is I give them the full rundown of everything they can expect while recording with me. A special thank you to Sue Stockdale for joining me once again and being willing to talk about her broken bulbs. Be sure to listen to Access to Inspiration and check out the rest of Sue's work in the show notes. You can also listen to Sue on episodes 25 and 72 of Broken Bulbs. And if you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review and share the show with a friend or family member who you think would get something out of it. Broken Bulbs is produced by Mecco Radio, and we are, of course, a proud member of the Create Fine. I, Alex Williams, was your host. The podcast artwork is by Bethany Gustafson, and the music we use is by Brian Claxton and Wesley Thomas. Oh, and thanks again for listening. Mecco.